Chapter 6 deals with Salesforce evaluation. Now, one of the critical resource which in any marketing is the sales force. These are the people who actually give you that last mile of contact, the product to be sold. There can be products which can be sold with very minimal intervention from a salesman. And there are the other end of the spectrum. There are products which just cannot be sold without the involvement of a salesman. Like you'll find a hawker or something which is being vended. There has got to be a salesman. Or for instance, a jeweler shop. Unless that person is doing, there is an interaction, sale doesn't take place. Whereas the other extreme, you may find a vending machine where without the intervention of a salesman, a product can be sold. But whatever it is, salesman performs a very critical part of your operation. But at the same time, salesman is also a cost. So what happens is, what I am investing in a salesman, how do I ensure that that is giving me the return? And that is what we are going to cover in this chapter. First thing about a salesman, one has got to notice that the salesman as a group, they are constantly on the move. They are working not within the immediate span of control of the supervisor or the in charge, because they may be at distant places. They may be working at odd hours. They do not have, really speaking, a type of a fixed hour. So these create problems in terms of how do you control. So most of the control, most of the evaluation process has got to be based on remote type of assessment. So what is first thing done is, one of the first methods that we'll see is, that how do we ensure that there is an amount of productivity coming out of the salesman. So salesman, primarily one will discover that there is an amount of work involved. They have got to cover a territory, they have got to move around, they have to meet contacts, they have got to find out new customers, they have to find out new accounts, they may have to service existing accounts, they may have to give market information, they have to give feedbacks. So all these which are there, so any organization when they try to make a thing, they are first and foremost to try and find out some method by which this accountability can be brought in. So the reporting system has got to be built around it. So because there is an amount of you know, controlling their movements and there is a territory coverage, so what many organizations do is, they try and fix up this particular routing of the salesman on a certain planned method. So many organizations use a concept. So in order to find out how these people are covering the territories, what can be done is, we can prepare what we call a permanent journey plan, which sometimes in short form, it is known as a PJP. Permanent journey plan. Now here what is done is that territory is broken into some type of a planned coverage areas, and they are apportioned, they are given a task that when we look at the entire, supposing you take a planning period of a month, or sometimes they may make what we call a journey cycle of 28 days, because if it is a 4-week period, then you find that it repeats with a regularity 13 times a year. So one can do what we can call a journey cycle of 28 days, 4 weeks, or you can take a journey cycle of a month. And having divided the area, the entire area of coverage into specific segments, the salesmen are apportioned on a planned way that this is how you are going to cover the areas at this frequency, this periodicity, with so much of intensity, and that becomes a permanent journey plan. Now, once when the permanent journey plan is made, and it may require a lot of deliberation, discussion, you may have to go intensely into the entire area to find out that the coverage is adequate, it serves the purpose for which you are doing, it meets your requirements. But once it is done, then normally a deviation is not permitted. So if at all the salesman has to make any deviation, he can only do it under the specific instruction of the boss. Because here then what happens, there is an amount of control put on how that area is being covered. There is a discipline which is bought, and then you can also over a period of time track and find out which are the areas which are giving you good productivity, which are the areas which are relatively less. It may also tell you, weed out areas which the returns are not coming commensurate with the efforts you are putting in. Or there may be areas where, you know, your feedback tells you that it requires some better type of intervention, all this. So this is one of the first things by which you try and do what we call a permanent journey plan. In the permanent journey plan, when it is made, the companies can also put in that what your specific coverage expenses are. And once the coverage expenses have been put, then through that, you can also find out whether what the salesman is selling or the type of order that the salesman is bringing in, whether that is giving you return on the investment. Like if, for instance, apart from, you know, for every salesman, there is a standard cost per day which can be there. So if you take the standard cost per day, if you add what are the conveyances, what are the other expenses, what may be the traveling cost, and then when you find out that this is the total cost which has gone into that territory, and on that day, what is the order which that salesman has actually got, what is the productivity, when you translate that into a gross margin, you may find out whether that amount is being properly compensated. So this becomes one of the methods through which the salesman can be evaluated. The other one is that whenever for a product, when the salesman goes and he goes and finds out what is the type of, you know, the orders which the salesman is bringing. Because in many products, you'll find like if it is an FMCG, if it is a pharmaceutical, where the product is of a nature where it is sold on a regular basis and the orders are brought by the salesman, then there is this concept that which we say the primary sales is the sales which is taking place from the company to the first level, the distributor or the stockist. And from the distributor, what becomes your sales to the retailers, though it is the distributor or the stockist sales, but that secondary sales, this sales which is known as secondary, that the company has got to keep a track of, because secondary sales ensures that further primary sales are going to take place. So there has got to be a tracking kept of the secondary sales. And the other part is that when the salesman goes to a stockist or a distributor and gets from that stockist or the distributor a order, then one has got to keep a track whether that order has got some type of a reference with what the secondary sales are. Because if the secondary sales, unless there is a type of a linkage, there is some type of a connect with what the secondary sales is, overselling at the primary may create dumping. That means the stocks are getting blocked at some place. And the reverse, that means in case you are not, if there is an opportunity and the salesman has not capitalized on that, that means you may be losing out on sales. So one has got to ensure that this a proper balance is kept. So many companies, what they do is, they do on the basis of a journey cycle, a stock and sales statement. That means every time that the salesman goes and visits this stockist or the distributor, you can find out for each of your product item, what was the earlier sale, what is the type of stock they are holding, and the second sales or the second order which he has taken, has it got some type of a parity with what the secondary offtake is. So these are some of the methods through which you try and capture what the salesman's performance is. In many markets where the sales is primarily dependent upon how the salesman's rapport is with the trade, you may like to find out how. Today, of course, in organized retail, there are whole shelves which are taken for a product's display. But when you have got small shops, much of it depends how the salesman is able to have a relationship with that particular retailer. And in that, you may like to find out what is the visibility of your product, whether your POPs are properly displayed. So in this, a method which often can be done is what we do, a merchandising form. That means the in charge or the boss or the supervisor takes the salesman and walks a particular street where there may be a few retails, and you try through a format to find out what is the comparative visibility of your product vis-a-vis competition. It gives you a type of a general impression whether the salesman is able to control that market, what is his rapport with the retailers, and how he is actually doing it. So these become some of the methods through which you are able to evaluate. There are some specific models which are used for Salesforce evaluation. And in this chapter, we have dealt with one model, which is basically criteria-based Salesforce evaluation. Now, what it means, I'll tell you. Normally, when we look at a salesman's performance, the first thing which comes to mind is that we have given him a sales target. What has he achieved? We may have given him a gross margin target. What has he achieved? In an earlier chapter, we had dealt with that the product mix may have a relevance on what the gross margin achievement is. But while these are the specific ones where you are doing on the sales, absolute sales, sales vis-a-vis target, sales growth over previous year, sales as a market share against the potential. While these are ones which have more to do with the sales and the gross margin, there can be others also which may form a critical part of their performance indicators, like what is his rapport with the retailers? What is the type of claims you are getting from the trade? What is the type of customer retention that the salesman is having? What is the type of new customers the salesman is able to bring into the fold? What is the type of order booking which is there? What is the rate of conversion, the hit rate? So like this, one can lay down a number of criteria on which they would like to evaluate. And then what is done is, depending upon the importance, the criticality of each of the criteria, you may assign weights to it. And on the basis of a weighted average, taking different salesmen, an evaluation can be done, which is basically known as the criteria-based evaluation. On the basis of different criteria and assigning weights to these criteria, you can do a total score and then make a comparative evaluation of different salesmen, and this is what is known as a criteria-based evaluation point. With that, we'll complete the Salesforce evaluation and we'll go to the next chapter, which is basically working capital.